Once again, it's a absolute pleasure to be here, and just from speaking with you guys, I'm really excited to, and me and Racer are very excited to give you a little explanation and tips on job searching from the start, where you're really working out what you want to do with your resume. And I know it's scary to think about when you're searching for a job exactly what you need to do and how you need to organize yourself, but we want you to know that we've got some tips for you to really help make you feel more confident in yourself and your materials, and then how to really center your search into a more specific way. So overall, Raisa will be covering the overall outcome of where we want to take this presentation.
Hello again. I've been having a really good time with you guys today, so thank you for working with us, because we've really enjoyed working with you.
And so by the end of this presentation, we really want you guys to be able to leave not only feeling confident in your application materials, but me and Raisa will be around shortly afterwards, just so we can, if you have any questions or more in-depth questions, we'd be glad to answer it. We're going to be going through each step of the job searching process from the minute you write your resume all the way to the minute you leave that interview. After each step, we're going to just take some time, take one or two questions, so that way we're really making this time about you guys. Overall, we can start it off with the resume and the cover letter. How many here have heard that, you know, first introductions matter? You know, everyone's hands should be up. This first introductions are extremely important, and the resume is your first introduction to whoever is looking at your application. It's really important to just think about before you even think about the resume, what kind of job are you looking for? What kind of industry are you looking to answer, are looking to get into? And then doing research and finding out what exactly are the skills needed for that.
And when you're doing your resume, you want to think about your transferable skills, like, you know, your customer service skills and things like that, because those transfer over into all types of areas when you're looking for a position. And we want you to open up your mind and think about what the skill set you have now, how you can transfer that into different areas that you work into. It may be a daunting process, but it's a very seamless, smooth process when you just think about it and not get rid of all the extra stuff in your head and just focus on how your skills are transferable.
Right, and so I want to be able to go through some of the aspects of a resume. I am a recruiter here at the museum, and so I'm looking at a ton of resumes daily. I also do want to address, a lot of times on Facebook, a lot of my friends who are applying for jobs are like, why am I even writing a cover letter? Like, no one's reading this stuff. And then I just comment and say, hey, just to let you know, I am reading it. So make sure that you are writing a cover letter. Going through a resume, we'll briefly go through this. A lot of the information is on the handout that you have with you and that will be sent out. So we only have an hour with you guys. We can't cover everything. But with the resume, the first part of your resume should be a heading, which includes your name, your address, email, current address. Please have a professional email. I will tell you, in high school, my email was darksith1991@yahoo.com. Which is great at telling employers that I love Star Wars, but not so great at showing them that I can be truly professional through my email correspondence. So please make a professional email, something like first letter of your name, last name, at whatever you prefer to use. Then after that, your education should come after. This includes the name of your school. If you don't plan on attending beyond high school, just put your high school down. But I do want to emphasize that high school or high school equivalent programs are extremely important in the job market today. And so if you do decide afterwards to go to a trade school or to pursue other programs, please feel free to do so. But I recommend including your school. If you are a college student, I recommend, if your GPA is above a 3.0, to put it on there. If not, just leave it off. A lot of times recruiters don't even ask for your GPA, but it's nice to see for competitive majors, so hey.
I know a lot of, because you're high school students, you don't necessarily have a lot of skills as far as work is concerned, but if you volunteered someplace, that's a skill set that we want to know about. We want to know that you volunteered. We want to know what you did, and that helps build your resume and fill that space or what have you. So when you're thinking about writing your resume, think about the activities that you've done, the places that you've outreached to or volunteered at, or even, you know, around the house thing. If you babysat, that's a skill. We want to know about that as well.
And yeah, you know, a lot of you guys are currently in programs that provide you professional development. Mm-hmm. Really do not discredit the programs that you're involved in. We always like to see individuals who are looking to grow, who are looking to grow professional skills, and that's exactly what being in these programs are. Professional development, improving your skill set. So that brings me to the experience section of your resume, which I think is really hard because you have to take the experience you've already had and turn it into 3 or 4 bullet points. And so what I recommend doing is, you know, taking a job or a position that you've held and then figuring out what exactly did you do and writing it out as if you were writing an essay. Just writing it out, what did you do? And then taking those points and turning them into bullet points. It's very hard when I'm reviewing resumes and all they've listed for responsibilities is customer service, because customer service can mean anything. So we recommend really making it more precise. And we actually, in our packet we gave out, I included a fake resume that I created, try to pretend I was a first year college student and I made a resume. And that should give you a great idea of how resumes are structured.
One thing that I always encourage people to do is that when you're writing a resume, you want to use proactive words versus passive words. A passive word is going to be like, oh, I was a cashier. A proactive term would be that I had a monetary transactions. It's a different way of saying it, but it's passive versus proactive, and you want to be clear, but you also want to, again, make your resume as meaty as possible. That's something that I always encourage.
Mm-hmm. And really do not discredit any of the experience that you have either in school clubs, mm-hmm. in programs, because a lot of those different clubs do give you transferable skills. If you're working together with someone in a after-school program, that's teamwork. Mm-hmm. If you're interacting with another individual, that's customer service. Please definitely keep that in mind and do not discredit your previous experience. I've seen a lot of people who have some awesome experience related to the job, but they didn't include it on the resume because they felt like it wasn't relevant. You can really make a lot of your experiences expand into transferable skills. And so after that, you know, this experience section, you're going to list your activities. And this could be being a member of a specific club, doing some volunteer work. So, you know, that's just a place for you to be able to put any of those. And once again, if you feel like the experience you have in a club is really important, put it under the experience section. Expand it. Tell us what you did in the position, because I think that is really important.
Most people have one copy for their resume, but sometimes you might want to have more than one, only because you want your skills to be relevant to the position that you're applying for. So you have to be sometimes very specific and sometimes not. So I have 2 resumes. One that's for recruiting, mm-hmm. and one for my proprietary education. So I always keep 2 around. You never know which one you're going to be needing or what have you. That's just my personal thing, and it has worked for me, and it may work for you. So when you're writing your resume, you definitely want to make sure that your skills are relevant for that employer you're trying to reach.
And, you know, with a resume, you know, if only employers gave us a guideline on what exactly they're looking for.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it is. It's the job description. So make sure you look at the job description when you're crafting your resume, when you're crafting your cover letter, because that's exactly what the employer is looking for. They're providing the skills that they're looking for, and you just need to match the skills that match that, mm-hmm. on your resume and cover letter. When you are creating your experience section, please make sure to use action verbs. You know, things like collaborated or collaborate or assisted, just so we can see the action that you took in that specific role. So trust me, I have seen a lot of different resumes, and Raisa has as well. There are fantastic resumes where I can look at it and immediately see exactly what you did in your previous positions. And then, like I was telling at table, I recently received a resume that was 12 pages long for a position working in our box office, and that was just very hard to figure out what experience that they had. And I'm looking at probably 100 other resumes, so I want to be able to just look at your resume, read your cover letter, and know exactly what you're looking to do, how you're looking to grow, and how we can make that happen.
And since Michael brought up cover letters, it is very important that you design your cover letter to the specific employer you're trying to reach. I cannot express to you how many times Michael and I have come across cover letters that have nothing to do with what they're applying for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we move on from that person. And we don't want you to be in that pile or that no pile. We want to put you in the yes pile. So when you're writing your resume, you know, you want to put something about yourself in the body of the resume, but you want to also address it to the dear hiring manager, dear hiring manager, it's with great interest that I submit to you my resume and cover letter for the position of boom, boom, boom. It should be that position and not something that you apply for, mm-hmm. a week or so ago. Because We see this all the time, and you'll be shocked how many times we see it.
Make your resume as concise as possible, and keep the resume reader in mind. Know that we do not know what you mean when you just write customer service. We want more details, and you don't need to have a lot of experience to have a good-looking resume. All you need to do is have a clear resume, so that way I'm able to see what experience you have. And the museum itself, we like to grow individuals, so if you have the basic qualifications and you really show that you're looking to grow and looking to stay with your organization, we'd like to see that. Just ask yourself, what are my strengths and weaknesses? What did I do in my past positions? How does that relate to the job description I'm looking at and the job that I want to apply for? And then just fill it out. You have a support network with you. You have peers, you have counselors, you have different individuals. Utilize them. Have them review your resume. Have them look at it, because there is an error that you may miss that they'll immediately catch. And that's happened with me, so definitely check that out.
So now we're going to go into the job search section. When you are searching for a job and you found a company that you're interested in, it's really important that you do the research on that specific company. Because when you walk in the door, you want to be prepared, because some people will ask you, do you know our mission statement? Do you know what we do here? Do you know our background? And if you can't answer those questions, then you basically tanked your interview. And you know, and that's something that a lot of people don't necessarily realize, that it's important to take 20 minutes or 5 minutes to do the research. And even to go beyond that, if you are a person who has LinkedIn, you can actually look up the person who's going to be interviewing you, and you can look at their background, because that's another tool that you want to put in your arsenal that's going to help you move forward to the next step.
Mm-hmm. And you know, one thing that a lot of you guys brought up, and appropriately so, is networking and the importance of networking. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, you've already built a strong network. You are part of programs.
Awesome. Yeah.
You've met me, Raisa, and the other professionals in the room. You know, ask for a business card when you do that. So that way you're able to connect to individuals or take their contact information. Some jobs in the market today are just not found listed online, or you're able to get a cutting edge on it by speaking to these individuals. We're the ones that are recruiting, and we know which positions are coming in the pipeline and what could open up soon. So, you know, speak to us, reach out to us, connect. It's really important to a lot of what we're applying to online nowadays. Some can be found online, some not. We do live in the digital era, so applying online is definitely, you know, the key way to do things. When you are applying for jobs online, make sure you have your materials properly organized and not mixed up with others. I will tell you, someone applied for a job at the museum and uploaded the Dropbox manual as their resume, which is not their resume at all. So, you know, make sure that you are properly labeling your resume online. As I label my resume, Chung Michael resume. And so, you know, that's a very easy way to organize. And when you're searching for jobs, there are very big, reliable websites. Simply Hired is a place the museum posts to. Hire Culture. We live in a great time where a lot of different websites that list specific positions for specific industries. So if you're looking for nonprofits, there's a website for that. If you're looking for more STEM-related positions, there's a website for that. And a lot of aggregator websites list more entry-level positions. Just do remember that, you know, if you're looking on a website and the job posting seems too good to be true, then potentially it is too good to be true. Just be cognizant of exactly where you're applying to, what is asked of you, and know what you're applying to. As there are some websites out there that do have jobs that just aren't listing the job that you're applying for. So
shady. To piggyback on what Michael said, it's just when you're applying for a job, follow the instructions to the nose. I cannot express how many times I have to reject a potential candidate because they didn't follow the rules. They didn't attach a cover letter, or they didn't attach their resume. An employer, when they ask you for a resume and cover letter, they want exactly that. So if you don't attach both documents, you're not going to get a callback, and you want that callback. So it's important that you follow the guidelines, follow the rules, and make sure that you have, like Michael said, all your material together, because you want to present yourself in a positive professional light. This is the first point of contact with an employer. This is your first time to make that first impression, and if you don't follow the rules, you go to the side. And that's just it's unnecessary.
Yeah, and treat looking for a job or looking for an opportunity like a job intern, mm-hmm. like a full-time job. Keep track of what you apply for.
Exactly.
Keep track of when you submitted the application, know when to check in.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I would say wait a week or two, or if the job description lists when you should contact the recruiter, then follow that timeline. But you know, a week or two, we receive emails all the time asking about an application, and we're more than happy to update an individual on the status of their application. So please feel free to send that out.
Yeah.
And I know we covered resume, cover letters, and job searching, which are very closely related, but we do want to open it up for questions real quick before we continue, because I know it's a lot, and we have the handout that covers more in depth, but just want to make sure we're addressing some of the questions people have.
So I know you said that people can get back to you, is there ever a time when you feel like people might be getting back to you too much?
We do have, I call some people, I hate to use the term, repeat offenders, but we do have people who definitely call a lot, but that's just a part of it. You know, we're professionals, so we're definitely going to make sure that they get the information that they need. You know, it doesn't hurt them or hinder them by
right.
checking up and following through. That just tells me that they're eager to find out what's going on if they're still in the running. I appreciate that. I have no problem with
mm-hmm.
that at all.
It doesn't have an effect on the candidacy. You know, I know when you're applying for a job, you want to know exactly what's happening with that job.
Mm-hmm.
So we're more than happy to follow up. So don't be afraid to reach out to the recruiter and see what's going on.
The letter should be maybe two paragraphs. I mean, I'm never quite sure how much information actually.
I would say 2 to 3 paragraphs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maximum of a page.
Just be specific about your skill set, and you know, that's your first sales pitch right there. You're selling yourself to this employer, so you want to do that on the first page, and then your skill set, obviously, that's a summary of your skill set, which is your
mm-hmm.
which is your cover letter, and then your resume is going to speak for itself.
My sister, little sister, is currently applying for jobs. She's still in college, and she was so confused about what to write on her cover letter, and so I told her, look at your resume, and then what did that resume didn't tell me about you? And write that out in your cover letter. So get more specific about what you're looking to do,
mm-hmm.
what your goals are, why you want this opportunity. And then tell me, you know, what have you done in your previous positions that you want to tell me about yourself
mm-hmm.
that really show that you have the skill set for the position.
Exactly.
The cover letter is your way to introduce yourself. So don't make it generic, make it specific.
Okay.
So that way I'm able to read and really understand why you want to work at this institution.
And why are you the best candidate for the position? I'm sure you guys know for every one position there are 50 to 100 people applying for that one job. You want to be that one that stands out.
You know, the cover letter doesn't go into like a black hole that we never see ever again.
We read them.
I take the time to read every cover letter because I know some applicants take time to write a cover letter, and I want to be able to give them the justice of knowing that, you know, I did read through your cover letter, and we want to make sure that we're considering your full candidacy
mm-hmm.
before we decide to move forward or not move forward. Work on that cover letter. It doesn't have to be a novel, and I don't have to see it being sold at Barnes & Nobles, but it should be something that tells me personally about your goals and aspirations. For the cover letter, just put a little bit about your goals, why you're applying for the position, and then some of your previous experience and some of the specifics of that experience. So for example, if you're working in a high volume environment, working with customers, mention that, you know, I was recognized as a very helpful employee for doing this. I work full time with X amount of people. So it's a way to really give us an idea of an introduction of yourself that the resume did not cover. So that's why resumes and cover letters go hand in hand, because resumes give me and Raisa a perfect and quick, concise image of who you are. Then the cover letter allows you to expand upon that.
Exactly.
And tell me about what your goals are, what you're looking for, and how we as an institution can help with that.
Mm-hmm. You want to have your resume formatted. So because you guys are high school students going, or first year college students, what have you, you want to have your resume structured. So you want to start out with your resume being, you want to have your name, your address, phone number, email address, and then you want to do your education. You want to have your high school, your education right there, your name of your high school, the years that you're attending. You could be 2016 till present, however you want to word it. Then you want to put your honors, if you have any, and then your experience. That's how you want to build your resume based upon that. And your high school, obviously, very important with that.
And yeah, a lot of jobs nowadays are asking for, you know, high school GED or high school equivalents.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to include that on the resume at the top. So that way, when a recruiter's looking at your resume, we're not foregoing that and disqualifying you if you did include it by accident. So it's important to do that, and some programs do qualify as high school equivalent. So. Mm-hmm.
What about if you don't know your GPA?
It's okay. You don't. If you don't know it, that's fine. You don't necessarily have to put your GPA on it. But if it's a 3.0 or higher, we encourage it to do so. But you don't have to put it there.
And I personally do not ask for GPAs in my interviews. So and I know a lot of recruiters do not do that. All right. Let's say you've applied for jobs. You got a call back. You are invited in for an interview, and it's very exciting, but now you're very nervous. How do you handle that? Trust me, not only is the interviewer a little bit nervous to meet with you, as I am from time to time, and I'm sure Racer is too, but you are a lot more nervous because this is a job that you're applying for. We recommend do your research on the company. Know exactly what the company's been doing, what they're looking to do, and how you could potentially be a part of that puzzle piece. So really do the research, figure out some key facts, and then understand the mission statement for the institution. I interview someone and they recite the mission statement at the museum. I'm like, oh my gosh, you took the time to read it. That's awesome. And then when they relate their experience back to that mission statement and what they want to do, I'm like, that's awesome. This is great. So make sure you know the mission statement and know that it does align with your goals or how it will align with your goals and your resume. Every organization and company has a mission statement. It's usually found in the About Us section of their website. So take the time to read that, know that, and then know what exactly your position is doing in the scope of the grand picture. So,
and you also want to prepare questions for the interviewer, more than one, because have you ever, they always ask you, do you have any questions for us? And it's important that you do have questions, because you know this is a company that you've researched, that you know you want to be a part of, so you want to come prepared with your own set of questions. You know, four, no more than five. That I would say that would be a good number of questions to have. When you have your questions, you want to be clear as to what you're trying to get an answer for, so be clear with your questions. It's important that you research the company, but also what are your questions going to be. Most questions start out, people start out, what is a typical work day around here? That's a basic question that a lot of people ask. Is there any room for growth? That's a question that a lot of people ask. The benefit package is a question that a lot of people ask. And those are generic questions that are across the board. Mm-hmm. But if you want to get more specific as to what your job duties entail, then you want to go back to that job description and pull questions out of there, because that's a good way to start as well. I always encourage you to do that, because you just never know. You don't want to cut the conversation off. You don't want to say you don't have any questions, because I think it's important that you walk in there with guns a-blazing, ready to go in there and capture that job. I always say, when you walk in there, you own it. When you walk out there, you'll have it. So own it, and you'll have it.
You have to impress the they think that you are so interested in this job,
like
you want it.
That's right. That's correct. Employers are always looking for reliable and enthusiastic employees. So go in there and show that you want to be in this position. And at the same time, keep in mind that while they're interviewing you for the position, you should also be interviewing us to see if the position's a fit and the company's a fit. Ask about how the person that's interviewing you got into the job they got. Because, hey, that could be you in about 5-10 years interviewing that person across the table. So, you know, it's always great to hear about how other people grew in the company, and because that gives you a little snapshot of where you could end up being.
And one of the things that I love to say is that an interview is a sales pitch. You're selling your skills to the employer. You know what you're looking for, but you need to express that to the employer so that he or she can see that you're one of the best fits for the position. Think about it as a sales pitch. You know how that blouse or shirt that you have on sold itself to you? It's the same way you want to do when it comes to an interview. Just to simplify it and make it less complicated.
Yep. And practice. When I was in high school and I told, you know, a couple of the tables that I spoke to today, I was a very shy child. I didn't want to talk to anyone. And that one opportunity I had over the